And what about falling in love? The most irrational, unpredictable, unformulaic experience of all, right? But even in the most personal, intimate areas of our lives, we seem to be operating out of deeply seated formulas. Even though we may think we're acting independently, there are many formulas, psychological, biological, and cultural, that help create our notions of good and attractive. And our next story is about just that, beauty standards, and how they change over time. Olivia Puerta, Nelly Olsen, and Olivia Prevost tell us about a certain successful surgery industry in modern-day Korea.
Imagine that 40% of the films shown at your local movie theater are Korean. Imagine that for their sweet 16th birthday, girls ask for cosmetic surgery to slant their eyes and flatten their noses. In several East Asian countries, the reverse of this situation is reality. 41% of Korea's box office sales come from American films, and across Asia, a common graduation present is surgery to create double-folded eyelids. In this era of globalization, some say that a Caucasian look is dominating female beauty ideals, as Japanese and Korean women can testify.
You know, they do lots and lots of plastic surgery. Like, oh yeah, let's go shopping. Oh, I'll go buy a new nose or set of eyes.
When I go into the Korean supermarket and I see a picture of a model, I'm thinking, you know, who is she? I don't know if she's Korean really or not. She looks like a hybrid European-Asian person.
They all look like Barbie dolls these days, even in Korea.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a night of beauty, talent, and poise.
The Miss World pageant is the world's most watched annual TV show. Of its 2 billion plus viewers, 60% are young women. The Miss World competition presents the idea that beauty can be judged by one standard. Of all the women in the world, one can be deemed the most beautiful. A Stanford faculty member who wishes to remain anonymous explains what changes beauty standards across the globe.
There is no innate beauty in whiteness or big eyes or big breasts. This sense of beauty is not something innate. What is considered to be beautiful has to do with political economy.
Dr. So-Hee Lee, another Stanford faculty member, teaches and researches the effects of advertising on individuals. Dr. Lee believes that interaction with the West has changed East Asian beauty ideals.
This is the result of any kind of globalization process, right? Where you have more and more interaction with other cultures outside of yourself and have a better sense of how other people regard you and how other people regard themselves. Before that, I don't know, we're thinking what, 18th century, 17th century, they only had themselves and images of other Asian countries to measure themselves by. Their aesthetics will be purely Asian in terms of Asian looks.
The East and West have been in contact for hundreds of years. However, political events and economic trends in the last century have increased the West's presence in East Asia. In Japan and Korea, the West's cultural influence was heightened by the United States' involvement in their reconstruction after devastating wars.
The Japanese offer of unconditional surrender is official. It has been accepted.
In Seoul, Korea, Eisenhower told reporters,
"We're all engaged in a common enterprise. We are all here to see it through."
America, you have to remember, represented the power. Not just one power, but like the sole kind of epitome of what is the great in this world. Koreans were coming out of a war. It was just devastating. My auntie used to tell me about how people would come around in carts and all the dead people were just piled into it during the war because there's so many people dying in the streets. Old ladies die in their apartments because their son went out to get food and died, didn't come back, and they starved to death. I mean, all sorts of stories, just horrifying stories of the war. You survive the war, and all of a sudden you're a democracy, and you're supposed to just pick up and go. And you're grateful to this country, because you have, like, United States coming in, giving you all this money. But, you know, they were also fed a lot of images of America, Hollywood. You see all these great movies when you can. see, you know, Elizabeth Taylor and all these great stars. You know, you can't help but find that glamorous, that life glamorous, the people in there glamorous.
Every time you leave me for a minute, it's like goodbye. I like to believe it means you can't live without me.
You know, my mother, God, she can name off all the Elizabeth Taylor. She knows all the big stars from the 1950s and 60s. This is what they grew up on.
Young Lan Lee, an acclaimed Korean actress and professor of theater and film at Seoul's Kyunghee University, remembers growing up in the 60s and 70s.
Well, we were educated in Western ways, you know. We weren't aware of our own traditional music, our own traditional dance movement. We were taught the Western music, Western dances, and whenever we had date with them, we went out with boys, we rather want to go Western restaurant than the Korean restaurant. If somebody brings you to a Korean restaurant, you think, oh, he's, you know, a jerk or something like that. You know, that kind of culture we were brought up.
Venus in blue jeans is the Cinderella.
There's a whole emotional attachment there. And I think the Korean people were incredibly grateful at the time and absorbing all this stuff from American, you know, cigarettes to American gum to everything was American. I mean, so, you know, they looked up to America and this is what they wanted to be. They wanted to be another America. So, you know, it makes sense that people kind of absorb the looks too at some level.
It was kind of sudden, abrupt, Western culture imported the notion of beauty, the westernized notion of a woman's beauty comes with that cultural flow.
Western images and products can be seen everywhere in Korea and Japan, as witnessed by Young Lan Lee.
Kentucky Fried Chickens, McDonald's, and Starbucks, and even Outback Steak, and you name it. No, it looks like Los Angeles and New York, Seoul streets and so on.
Western images and advertisements connect Western features with sexiness and wealth. They transform Western looks into what's desirable, what's hot. A Stanford faculty member speaks about this transformation from her experience as a Japanese woman.
What is accelerating this is the marketing. There's a marketing force that wants to sell certain products, and marketing force really reproduces a particular version of beauty.
Do-hee, a Korean-American college student who spent 3 years in Korea during high school, remembers how Westerners were portrayed.
Caucasians in advertisements or some TV shows, they're not portrayed as individuals, but rather just, you know, images of beauty. You know, so you have your typical very thin, very blonde, you know, very waif-like figure, you know, holding a cell phone or something, just to give an image of it being cool and Western.
Images of Caucasian models are prominent across Asia. In Taiwan, 50% of models in magazine advertisements are white. In Singapore, the percentage is as high as 73.
If you see this every day in the supermarket, and you see this kind of look, what are you going to want? What are you going to want to be?
Now, more than ever, East Asian women are conditioned to Western beauty ideals through movies and advertisements. But people aren't just passively accepting new looks without reason. Adopting beauty ideals associated with wealth and power can actually get you ahead. The dissolution of old hierarchies in Japan and Korea has enabled people to climb up the social ladder using their physical appearance.
Opinion after the war, it's lost its like kind of social system. They used to have a very specific class system. It was a caste system, actually. But after the war, everything got topsy-turvy. All the records disappeared, and people who were of the lower classes could claim higher class rank. And so if you're in that scenario where nobody knows who they are, how do you judge class? How do you judge their social place? And they do it by money and by appearance, and by looks.
In recent times, modern technology grants people more power to reshape their looks than ever before. Cosmetic surgery is a distinctly new and permanent way of obtaining the perfect look. In Asia, the popularity of cosmetic surgery has boomed in recent decades. South Korea has the world's highest number of plastic surgeons per capita, performing 500,000 surgeries per year. Millions of more surgeries are performed in China, India, and other Asian countries. The most common surgeries performed are for wider eyes, longer noses, and larger breasts.
The most common, I would say, is getting your eyes done. Most Asian eyes don't have the fold, and so they would want the fold to make their eyes appear bigger. And a lot of people also fix their noses to make it bigger. They also wanted a smoother jawline. They would shave your jawbone here. To make it like round. When it first became like a big thing to do, you know, people would get it. It's like, oh, you got your nose done. Oh, it looks good. And then it became more of, oh yeah, let's go shopping. Oh, I'll go buy a new nose or set of eyes. At the plastic surgery clinics, they would say, if you bring a friend, we'll give you a discount or we'll give you another free, you know, plastic surgery session. You know, so it's kind of like 2-for-1 deal.
In Japan, they call this plastic surgery procedure as puchi plastic surgery. Puchi means petite. Instead of saying it's a surgery, it's a petite surgery, so that it's not even a surgery, it's just stitching, like going to dentist.
Cosmetic surgeries entered the market on a wide scale at the same time as the 1980s economic boom in East Asia. Many Korean and Japanese women gained new job opportunities and financial independence through the expanding service industry. In East Asia, women are very aware that looks are important for securing these types of jobs. In Japan, PR departments warn, "Beware of women who wear glasses or are very short." Cosmetic surgery for the sake of getting a job is so common that the Japanese have coined a term for it, recruit seiki. Young Lan Lee observes the same situation in Korea.
If you're not pretty enough, you have to be very fit to the standard to get a job or to do whatever. Even politicians, they do cosmetic surgeries, and it's kind of normal these days.
Although many women are getting jobs, marrying well is still the ultimate goal for most women.
You do everything you can to marry up. If you can look really pretty, maybe you get picked up by some rich man. So all these young girls have this pressure to not only, get married really quickly, but really look their best. So that's why they get these presents, in terms of plastic surgery when they're young, 16 or whatever. So girls, if you don't have much, all you have as capital is your looks.
In a social system based on wealth and looks, a woman can use plastic surgery to rise in society as a self-made individual. Such social movement was not possible for women in traditional Asian society, where social status was determined at birth.
Some people who are against plastic surgery would say, what matters is the inner beauty, not the outside, right? That's just another way to see beauty. And why that is more ethically or morally superior idea than people who say, what's wrong with changing my appearance so that I can get better salary? This is one of the few things maybe I can change. Yes, my economic background, class background cannot be changed. This is where I was born. I can't change it. So there are a few things I can change, and if appearance is something that I can change to have a better life chance, then why shouldn't I?
Shaping oneself to meet a beauty standard can open up a new world of opportunities. Ironically, in order to take advantage of new freedom and social mobility, women surrender to a strict ideal of physical beauty. Some are concerned that this new beauty ideal reflects Western characteristics, threatening East Asian culture and the celebration of individual differences.
It's very problematic because it induces people to do things that they don't normally do. I mean, it's a problem here where people are closer phenotypically to at least the ideal in terms of Western features.
I think natural beauty is the most beautiful. So when I went to Asia, I think Asian girls are beautiful the way they are, and I thought it was so sad for them to want to change their natural beauty to become like something that they will never be.
The standard of beauty, it should be very personal, it should be very cultural, it should be very even ethnic, you know. You should enjoy the differences, even outlook, even you know, facial differences. I don't agree with everybody has to look same.
Cosmetic surgeries can give women advantages for better jobs, but many women still complain that people shouldn't feel that they have to get surgery in order to be beautiful. They believe that beauty is something unique and natural. The role of beauty standards in people's lives is paradoxical. A beauty standard can be a tool for exerting individuality, triumphing over old constraints, and gaining higher status in society. But that newfound freedom can be traced back to following a narrowly defined norm. Beginning in the 1970s, college students and others who were inspired by these concerns worked to revive interest in traditional Korean culture. Young Lan Lee has been active in establishing an anti-Miss Korea festival that celebrates a broad definition of beauty.
We audition for people, just ordinary people. Everybody, every woman can be beautiful. Every woman can be anti-Miss Korea. So first year of our anti-Miss Korea festival, 70-year-old grandma and 80-year-old grandma, all they can, the fat one and, you know, big one and with harsh voices, even homosexual. Yeah. Everybody can make their own voices. In this kind of period when the internet, you know, connects you timely and space-wise, instantly, the cultural aspects have to maintain their own idiosyncratic cultural identities. That way, the universe would look like rainbow. Otherwise, it's gonna look just monotoned prison. Yeah, in culture, you have to be different. You know, woman's beauty is a representative of culture, I think.
I don't think that they're losing their identity. I think it'd be too easy to say that.
Some East Asians vehemently deny that the prevalence of eyelid surgeries has anything to do with Western cultural imperialism. A leading Japanese plastic surgeon stated in Asia Week magazine that although eye surgeries performed right after World War II were meant to make people look more Western, that is no longer the case. Scholars such as Joseph Tobin argue that Japan isn't being Westernized, but is domesticating Western influences, adapting and naturalizing them until they're a part of being Japanese. Others object to the idea that globalization produces a homogeneous norm.
I'm not sure if globalization is homogenization because people, they want to see something exotic, something very different from the place that they live. So precisely the opposite to homogenization. Another movement is this increasing sort of commodification of cultures, making everything different from each other. Otherwise, you can't make money. Not necessarily everything is going to be the universally same. Difference, I mean, you have to have, you know, you have to consume difference. You don't consume the sameness.
Maybe globalization won't make cultural ideals all the same. Rather, nations might consume other nations' differences. Differences that will be melded and changed until they're no longer foreign. Who knows how America's beauty ideals could change as a result?
Maybe if Asia, an Asian country took over our country and won, and, you know, we can't even imagine what that would be, you know, if we were in war with like China or something. And I don't know how we would respond to that, and over time how that would change us and how change our perspective. Can you imagine that? And we all want to look Asian.
There's no certainty that American ideals will continue to dominate Asian or global standards of beauty in the future. And there's no certainty over how globalization is really affecting how people think about beauty. Is globalization causing a tragic loss of diversity? Or is there a conscious, two-way exchange of cultural differences? As nations across the world develop and global interactions increase, it's inevitable that the U.S. will feel the influence of foreign beauty ideals. Those foreign ideals could become part of Americans' paths to greater power and wealth. Like it or not, societies everywhere place a lot of importance on how people look. Some people may object to the importance that other people place on physical beauty, preferring our fates to rely on intelligence, rank, or virtue. But when it comes down to it, judging by those standards can be just as arbitrary and subjective as judging beauty. Maybe it's all about your smarts. Maybe it's all about your looks. About your big eyes, your blonde hair, your dark skin, or maybe, just maybe, the hokey pokey is what it's all about.
Olivia Puerta, Nellie Olson, and Olivia Prevost are undergraduates at Stanford.